Good morning, Terra family. It is good to see that we reserve this little section here for the college kids, and that nobody should sit in this section. And hopefully they'll come back and fill those spots. But I encourage you, you can feel free. Like, you don't have to sit just on the bleachers. You can sit here. As Pastor Dennis shared, my name is Rob Kepperudis. I am the executive pastor and the worship arts pastor as well, all rolled up into one neat little role. And thank you. Thank you for worshiping with us today on this last Sunday of 2024. You could have chosen to sleep in, but you have chosen to be here. And hopefully you enjoyed some time celebrating Christmas with your friends and your family. And you are anticipating and excited for the new year to come. This is not going to be your typical end of the year sermon where you get from me all of the fixes for all the ways that you messed up in 2024, and hopefully getting some new tidbits on how to not do those things in 2025 and make your life better. But maybe that will happen. Maybe out of this sermon, there will be some habits that you decide that you want to break or you want to change. But it's not a time that we focus on the me, right? This isn't about what I can get out of things. This is more about the we. This is about the us. This is about the church family. And how can 2025 look different for this church? And more importantly, what does it mean to be a healthy part of a healthy church? And this applies to every church. This is not just solely for the people that come here and call Terra Nova Church their home church. This applies far more than just what we do in these four walls. This is about the capital C church. And I understand that we live in this area, this demographic that we have, where people come in and they go to school or they go to work for a period of time, then God calls them elsewhere. But these three characteristics that we're going to talk about, no matter where you go, no matter where you settle or you plant roots, they embody for how every follower of Christ is called to connect with and engage with their church community. You see, a healthy church family is united in Christ, and that is our main idea for today. Every family, not just a church family, but every family thrives when it is built on love, on unity, and on a shared purpose. And as believers, we are members of God's family united in Christ. A healthy church family reflects his glory, draws others to him, and fulfills his mission. So today, we're going to explore three marks of a healthy church family and the part that you play in making that church family healthy. And this is the roadmap for us today. So we're going to explore what it means to show up, what it means to serve, and the sacrifice that it takes in doing all of those things. All of this while being rooted and united in Christ. So I'm going to read a passage from Philippians 2, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to dig into this roadmap. And this is a great passage for all of us to set our minds and our hearts on as we look towards this new year, being mindful of the place that we have in God's family. The slide will have all of these verses on here, but I think it's a good place for us to start as we enter into this time. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not only look to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you pray with me? Father, we acknowledge that your church is an incredible gift. Thank you for uniting us in Christ, drawing us into this beautiful and diverse family of believers. Lord, help us to see the ways in which we are called to show up, to serve, and to sacrifice for the good of your church and your people, all while being rooted in your love. Unite us as one body, Lord, and help us to love one another as you have loved us. May our unity reflect your glory and draw others to the hope we have in you. Empower us as a church family to live out your mission with joy and purpose, both individually and collectively. May we be a church that reflects the love and grace and unity of Christ, and may we be faithful to the calling you've placed on each of us. We trust you, Lord, to help us grow deeper in our relationship with you and with others. We ask this all in Christ's precious and powerful name. Amen. All right, let's dig into this. So the roadmap, the first part was a healthy church shows up. And we see in Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25, and it says, "And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as it is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near." You see, showing up isn't just about filling a seat or checking off a box or doing something that you think that you should do. It's about being together to worship God and to encourage one another. Because when we gather, we are reminding each other of the hope we have in Christ. We are building relationships that strengthen and sustain our faith. We are demonstrating to the world the unity of the body of Christ. And we are encouraged. Pastor John Piper said this: "Without the ministry of attendance, we cannot be known. If we are not known, we cannot be encouraged. If we are not encouraged, we will not endure." So imagine a campfire, and you have the fire, it's all roaring, and then you take one of the fire pieces out and you just set it to the side. That piece of the fire will slowly burn out and have nothing left. But as a whole, it remains together, it burns brightly. And similarly, we thrive spiritually when we gather regularly as a church family, when we're a church body together. A Christ follower without a church is like a soldier without an army. It's lost, weak, and vulnerable. Let me say that again. A Christ follower without a church is like a soldier without an army, lost, weak, and vulnerable. But showing up doesn't just mean meeting together on these Sundays gathered. This includes our tribes. This includes our men's and women's gatherings. This includes youth events. It also includes being there for your brothers and sisters, both in good times and also in difficult ones. Because we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. So like when a brother in Christ gets diagnosed with cancer, your family, your church family shows up with meals, watches the baby, cares, and then they show up in their driveway to cheer them on as they come home from their last treatment. Or maybe when someone finds out that you, you're sick, you're not feeling well, and they bring you tea to help you get through the day. Or when a mother has a baby, everybody shows up with all these meals, whether they want them or not. Or just even providing a space for someone to study, right? That's what showing up means. And maybe you're hearing this, and you're thinking about how the church has hurt you, or you're skeptical of the church in general, or maybe just Christians in general. I just first off want to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry if the church, the people of the church have hurt you, or they have done you wrong. Because you know what? The people of the church are broken and hurting people. They will not always represent Jesus well. And I'm sorry for that. I know what it feels like to be hurt by the people of the church. And if I can be vulnerable for a moment, it has caused me to struggle with being able to trust. But the Lord is continuing to work on me in that area. But as followers of Christ, this is what we are called to do. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. And in 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And if you have something against a brother or a sister, let me encourage you, please go to them. Don't go around talking to others about something that you have with another brother and sister. Be reconciled to that person, please. So I want to challenge you to commit to showing up, not just on Sunday mornings, although that's extremely important. It includes parts of your tribe being there, being at the men's and women's events. Make Sundays, though, a sacred time for worship and fellowship, encouraging others who may also be struggling with this idea to tend or have struggles with the church. Show up for the people in your life. If you're not attending church regularly, I just have to ask you why. Why are you not showing up? What keeps you from making this a priority that it should be? I wonder what this space might look like if we all gave attending church regularly a higher priority than maybe it currently is. So a healthy church family shows up on Sundays, as well as for those in your life. But a healthy church family also serves. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." And we have this perfect model of serving in Jesus. He modeled servant leadership for us in so many ways, and one of which was the washing of his disciples' feet, and then ultimately giving his life for us. What better example could we ask for and try to model our lives after than that? Because we read in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is talking to his disciples in Mark 10:43-45. "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." A healthy church family follows Christ's example by serving out of love for God and one another, to meet the needs of the body and the community, and as a testimony of Christ's love to the world. Charles Spurgeon said this, "I believe that many professing Christians are cold and uncomfortable because they are doing nothing for their Lord. But if they actively served him, their blood would begin to circulate spiritually and it would be well with them." So think of a symphony. Each instrument has its part to play, contributing to this beautiful harmony that is created, but only when each does its part. So you need the whole orchestra in order to make the most beautiful sound. And when each member of the church uses their God-given gifts, the church operates as God intended it to. We can see this in 1 Peter chapter 4. It says, "Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as as good stewards of God's varied grace." This attitude of service exists in the church, right? We see many ways where the church has opportunities to serve gathered, but as well as the church scattered outside these four walls. And there are multiple areas that we can be serving. I thought of a few while I was going through this. There's an opportunity each week over at Victorious Life, where we just had our Christmas Eve service, to help out with His Table. It's a weekly meal that is served to the people in need in the community of Troy. And we have our tribes sign up each month to serve there. And then even the young adults, they serve once a month as well. We have an organization that we are involved with called Care Portal. It's a national organization that provides care to children and their families in need. And if you want more information, I'm going to put Betsy on the spot here. You can see her afterwards. I'm sure she would love to talk to you about the ways that you can both give and care inside of that network. You can serve the people in your tribe by bringing them a meal or giving them a ride. I know there's multiple people that do that here. Or you can care for the college students that God has brought in our doors in a miraculous way. That they fill this section, but yet, you know, they're just up the road. We can care for them by giving them those care packages at the end of the year during finals, or we can give them rides to and from church. A lot of them don't even have cars. I promise you, there is no shortage of areas and ways that you can serve and that you are called to serve. So find a place to serve, whether it's here at Terra Kids, whether it's greeting as people walk in, whether it's setting up things, whether it's backline, it's atmosphere, it's communion, it's music, it's audiovisual. There's so many ways that you could, there's outreach, there's all the ways that I mentioned. But you have to seek out opportunities to serve both here inside these walls and outside these walls. So let me ask you, are you serving the church? Are you serving outside the church? If not, why? What stops you from using the gifts that you have been given to bless the church and those that are around you? I wonder if we would ever need to ask for another volunteer to sign up to serve in Terra Kids or on a Sunday morning, if we all just chose to actually serve. So a healthy family, a healthy church family shows up for Sunday mornings and for other people, and a healthy church family also serves both inside these walls and outside these walls. But lastly, a healthy church family sacrifices. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, the main theme of this point really focuses on how giving takes sacrifice, but it also applies to the other two points of showing up and serving, because they both take sacrifice as well. But We're going to spend our time focusing on what it means to sacrifice when it comes to giving. Generosity reflects the heart of God. And a healthy church family gives as an act of worship, recognizing that all that we have belongs to the Lord, to support the ministry and the mission of the church to make more and better disciples of Jesus, and to care for those in need and advance the gospel. And we say it almost every week here at Terra. When it comes to giving, it is an act of worship, and that we do it joyfully, we do it regularly, and we do it sacrificially. And if we think back at the early church in Acts, it says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." They shared everything they had, ensuring that no one was in need. Wow, what a church could look like. Their radical generosity drew others to Christ. It wasn't just about providing for the family there, but it actually drew them into the fold. It brought them in to the house of the Lord. And I know that talking about giving can sometimes seem like an awkward topic in church, but it's probably because we don't talk about it enough, and that's what keeps it being awkward. And I think if we had the mindset that none of what we own is our own anyways, but it's the Lord's, I think we would give in a different perspective. Psalm 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Not only does everything belong to the Lord, but who are we to hold back from giving the little that we have when we worship a God who gave us sacrificially in sending his own son to pay for our ransom? He paid our debt. And the German pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "The call to follow Christ always means a call to share that self-sacrificial love. If Christ gave everything for us, how can we withhold anything from him?" So what should we do? What should be different? I believe that we should regularly evaluate our giving. Seasons of life change, jobs change. There's all kinds of things that happen in the course of our year that would recommend, hey, let's reevaluate what it's going. Have we just set things on cruise control so that it doesn't even actually act as an act of worship? It's just something that happens. You don't even think about it. I think we should ask ourselves, am I giving sacrificially? Am I giving joyfully? Is it even a sacrifice at all? Consider how your time, your talents, and your treasures can be best used to bless the church and others. It takes sacrifice to give. It takes sacrifice to show up for people and to attend church. And it takes sacrifice to serve the church and others. But in 1 John we read, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." If you're not sacrificially giving, why not? What is holding you back from believing that God controls everything, even the things that you let go of? What causes you to hold so tightly to the things that he could give and take away in just a matter of a second? Would it be possible to have a church at some point if we all gave sacrificially? Maybe make a bigger impact on this community. Maybe be able to give more. We talk about our church planting and we give 10% of our offerings as church planting support. But what would it mean if we could give more to this city of Troy? What would it look like if we could bless those that are in need? Because this is what it looks like to be a healthy church family united in Christ. Ephesians 4. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When we show up for church and we show up for others, when we serve faithfully and sacrificially give, we reflect his love and fulfill his mission of making more and better disciples of Jesus. So let us commit to being a church family that glorifies God, that encourages each other to be more like Christ and draws others into his kingdom. And maybe you're here today and you're already doing all three of these marks. You are that healthy part of a healthy church. I'll just say thank you. Thank you for continuing to do those things that you are called as a Christ follower. Keep chasing after Jesus in the way and encourage those around you to do the same. And maybe you're here today and you've been solely focused on maybe one or two of these marks. Well, let me challenge you to think deeply on why are you not giving those other one or two pieces of what makes a healthy church a healthy church. Why are you not giving it the time? And why are you not giving it the service that it needs? Reflect on your role in this church family and any church that you attend, that you will attend after this space. I know that God has people here for a season, and God calls you somewhere else in different seasons of life. So don't just make this about here. Make this about what you do. Are you fully engaged in showing up and serving the church? And are you sacrificing for the sake of the mission of making more and better disciples of Jesus? I ask that you would pray that God would help you to grow in these areas, to strengthen this church family, as we all together chase after being more like Jesus, because that's what we're called to do. That's what he set us out for. I'm going to ask the band to come up. I'm going to pray, but I also want us to kind of ready our hearts and our minds for communion. Pastor Dennis will lead us through that part of it, but just setting our minds and our hearts on that. And also, if you are here today and you desire prayer to be prayed over, to be prayed with, I encourage you over here in this right corner, there'll be men and women available to pray for you, with you. And maybe there's something in this message here today that caused you to want help or support, and you'd like to talk more about that. I'm available. Pastor Dennis is available. I think Pastor Jason is here. Glad to talk more about what that could mean for you here at Terra. But let me pray. Father, thank you for this church, your people. Father, there are so many ways that you have blessed us and you have given to us beyond what we could fathom. And for that, we're thankful. But Lord, if we were just to be satisfied with where we are, then I don't think we are following after Jesus. I think we need to be more like him, so therefore it means sacrificing more. It's going where you are calling us. It is doing what you are calling us to do. And fathers, in some ways that is very scary. Father, to open our hands and let you do with us as you would please. So I pray that you would help us to open our hands, that you would pry open our closed fists in all of the areas of our life, of the ways that we use our time, the way that we use our talents, and the way that we use our treasures. Father, would you continue to push us and stretch us to being more like your Son? We pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.